The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our look at the player cards in the Path to Carcosa Investigator expansion. This is part two of our look at the survivor cards in the box. On this episode, we are going to discuss Fight or Flight, Hiding Spot, Waylay, Not Without a Fight, and Resourceful. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Before we get started, a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between get a +1, +0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Cards that you build around or cards that are good in one particular deck get a Bless Token, while cards that we believe are destined to end up on the list of taboos or are simply bad for the big game get a Curse Token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. You all rock. If you'd like to be amazing like these people and support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Special thanks to Cole Monroe Chitty, Nicole Fiscus, and Nate Lost in Time and Space for their contributions to the channel. I couldn't do it without you. Without further ado, let's get started. Welcome back to the channel, everyone. We are making our way through the survivor cards in the Path to Carcosa Investigator expansion. We had a pretty solid bunch in part one. Let's see what part two holds. The first card we're going to talk about is Fight or Flight. This is a one cost event with the spirit trait, fast, play only during your turn. Until the end of the round, you get plus X combat and plus X agility, where X is the amount of horror on you. Man, Agnes loves this card.
Agility Agnes. I'm telling you guys. I'm telling you.
Thoughts really on Fight or Flight?
I feel like any survivor likes this card. Like, when are you not going to have at least two horror on you? And if you think about it, at like that point, it's like +2 to each of those stats for the whole turn. Like, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you have to play during your turn. Okay, so you can't use it in Mythos. That's the only unfortunate part. Yeah, I feel like this thing's kind of underrated. Yeah, but it also falls into the problem that a lot of, like, utility events do.
You only need one of this card, for sure.
That's true, yeah.
Which, fitting of the name of the card, is you get into that situation, and then you boost your stat up to a ridiculous level, and...
I don't know.
I've used this card a lot to great effect, because when push comes to shove... This thing is amazing at pushing
through
damage.
You get, like, +5. Yeah. Oh, for pushing through damage. That makes a lot of sense, actually. Yeah, because you can use it to push through, like, 3 Fire Axe Wings when you can't afford to boost all 3 of them. Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay, I get it.
I'm a big fan of this in solo, because when you get... If you do get swarmed and you need to evade a bunch of stuff and you
can't miss,
probably don't have the resources as a survivor... Or the card draw, really, to be committing a bunch to each skill test. But say you have two things you need to get away from, dropping this down and being able to get, you know, +2, +3, +4 agility, which is usually enough to get rid of, to evade those, you know, 2 enemies and then move away, is that is a lifesaver. And also the whole fire axe situation, when you've sort of spent down your fire axe for the turn, and then you're like, well, I still need to kill a bunch of stuff. This thing can come in handy, and it's just like, okay, suddenly I have the pluses I need to fuel it, is very good.
Okay.
I also have one funny story to share about this card, which is... Ooh. Union and Disillusion. Spoilers for that scenario, but at the end of that scenario, you have to make a skill test of 20 using all of your skills. Well, lo and behold, this can give you, like, +8, +10, and all of a sudden, that test doesn't look so difficult.
Yeah, I don't know, I haven't really gotten around to using this one all that well. I think it's because, like, because I see the amount of horror on you, and then I immediately think, oh man, that's a situation where I need, like, more guts, you know, to, like, not go insane. Yeah, I think it's more. Yeah, I think it's. I guess a little more of, like, my style of play. Yeah.
This is much better in lower player counts, I think, because in higher player counts, you can kind of just rely on other people to help you out.
It's true. Yeah, when this happens. Yeah, when you're
lower
in this
player
situation,
counts, you have to shoulder that responsibility, and so
that's true. Like, even if you don't want to, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, you don't have the team to rely on to, like. Yeah, bail you out and stuff. Yeah, and you're less likely to have like a Carolyn who's polishing everyone off and that sort of thing. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see that.
And it does have the spirit trait, which Calvin certainly likes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Calvin loves this card in general because he loves the J4.
Yeah, it's kind of the Calvin card. Yeah.
How would you rate this one?
This gets a pretty solid 0 from me. I've used this card to quite great effect in a lot of scenarios. Like I had mentioned earlier, in Union to Dissolution, it's great in that, so you can pass that circle test. But in general, there are just a good amount of scenarios you need to push through damage, or you need to do one couple of really difficult skill tests, and this is really helpful in those situations.
Yeah, I can see that. In fact, I'm sitting here thinking, when you say that, I'm thinking about Will to Survive from the core set, and how it fills a similar role, but this one, it's limited to combat and agility, but it doesn't cost 4 resources and 3 XP. You know, to accomplish. I mean, and then of course, Will to Survive, like, you don't have to worry about auto fails and stuff, but it's got a similar vibe where, you know, I got to push through like 3 tests and I need to, and it's great to like spend 1 card and be way over on it. So, yeah, I get it. And yeah. And for that result, because it's doesn't cost XP and it's only 1 and it's fast, I'll go with 0 as well. Yeah. As like a more targeted Will to Survive. Yeah.
This gets a +1 from me. I'm rarely sad to see this card. I mean, it doesn't have icons, but usually when you draw this, you're in a situation where you need to push through things. And if you're playing solo, this is one of those cards where the game might even hinge on you having this in your hand, because you're at that stage where it's just like, well, I'm kind of swarmed. And I need to get stuff done this turn. I either need to kill the thing or I need to escape from the thing. And seeing this in your hand makes that a whole lot more reliable. So, yeah, this is it's almost like a safety button in a way that you can get a lot done for one resource that you couldn't do otherwise. The next card we're going to talk about is Hiding Spot. This is a 1-cost event with 2 agility skill icons, tactic and trick trait. Fast, attach Hiding Spot to any location. Each non-elite enemy at attached location gains aloof. Forced, at the end of the enemy phase, if a ready enemy is at attached location, discard Hiding Spot. This card, if you are having trouble with the Devourer below from the core set, this card is basically a 1-card solution to that scenario, at least the choke point in that scenario. What do you guys think about this one?
If you don't have Dynamite Blast, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. This card seems very innocuous, I think, at first glance, but it's really quite powerful. Because there are sometimes, like you said, Man from Length, that you just kind of need to get through a choke point, or you need the enemy to not be engaged with you for this turn, and you go, you stick this on the location, you move in and do what you need to do and get out. That can be really useful.
Yeah, I've actually really grown to like this thing. More recently, actually, because I think what really puts it over the top is the fact that you can attach it to any location, and it doesn't even have to be your turn. So you can engineer some plays with this is what I'm getting at here. My favorite use for it, to be honest, is when you and like the vulnerable like clue getter, for example, have to split up. What you can do is you can just basically, it's like your pre-ward of protectioning their location against enemies. If they're not able to really deal with them very well, then you just say, all right, you put this down there, and it's like they're good. They get a whole turn to like do their thing and leave the location and not have to worry about stuff. Protects you from hunters, from getting attacked by hunters for a round. And on top of that, the icons are really good, you know, for evasion. You know, like the times when Hiding Spot won't help you, as in you're already engaged with the thing, well, it's got 2 icons to help you deal with that as well. So this thing's actually like surprisingly, like, it's got a lot of utility. I gotta be honest. I really like this thing. The more I play with it, the more I realize, oh man, if I had a Hiding Spot, then we're going to be safe for the whole turn, or, you know, no matter what we draw, that sort of feeling. Also, if you miss with it, like, say you put it down, you know, to protect like the clue getter or something, and that clue getter gets a treachery. Well, the hiding spot sticks around for later. Yeah, and then.
I don't have a great deal to add about this. The only issue I've found with this lately is that just finding the spot for it in a deck can be
Yeah,
challenging.
it's a utility card.
I mean,
Yeah.
when you've got the survivor events, like you've got Look What I Found, you've got Lucky. It's awfully hard to displace those, especially in solo, where like Look What I Found is often essential to getting clues. Not so much these days, but back when this card was released, has a tough time finding a home, but in there are just those certain scenarios where one hiding spot just makes everything a whole lot easier, and the icons are definitely a nice bonus if you need to evade anything. How would you rate this one?
Before we do, there's one last trick I want to throw out there with this thing that I really like about it. It saves you in that particular situation that I'm pretty sure we all know about, where you evade the enemy, right? You got stuff to do at that location, but the enemy is gonna ready, and then you're gonna have to be stuck evading it again, right? This says no. You evade the enemy, you drop the hiding spot. You go about your business, and then when the enemy readies, it doesn't re-engage you. Because remember, the enemy readies in upkeep, so it's going to stick around and it's going to not engage you until all the way the end of the next enemy phase, which by the way means it's not going to hit you. You know, it's not going to engage you until like a whole turn goes by. So I personally I find that like very useful because it means you don't have to like it doesn't ready it does the enemy you just evaded doesn't ready and immediately engage you again. So it gives you time to like kill other enemies or do what you need to do, you know, and then leave that thing behind. So I think that right there is actually really useful. And I'm gonna give it a plus one as a result. This thing is like surprisingly useful.
Yeah, as someone that plays a lot of TFA, this gets a plus one for me too, because it's
Oh
really
yeah.
useful in TFA. Because there's
Oh
just a lot of
yeah.
times where that exact situation ends up where
Yeah.
you evade something and then you get stuck at the location, so you evade it, put the hiding spot on, and then get the hell out of there.
Yeah, it gives you time. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to give this one a plus one as well. It is very handy in a few particular scenarios, but I think if you put this in your deck, you will find other ways to use it. The fact that it's fast, you can play it anywhere. So if you're playing in multiplayer and your group is split up and somebody needs a path through the enemies, you can do that for them, and you don't have to be anywhere near them, which is very nice indeed. So, plus one for a hiding spot. The next card we're going to talk about is Waylay. It is a three-cost event with two agility skill icons, tactic trait. Choose an exhausted non-elite enemy at your location and test X agility, where X is that enemy's evade value. If you succeed, defeat that enemy. I was thrilled when this card was released. I thought, oh, this is the answer to my prayers, and then just haven't played it because it costs too much and
Yeah,
just
it
haven't
is kind of
really
expensive.
needed it. What do you guys think?
Yeah, this to me competes with Hiding Spot, and Hiding Spot often just does the thing better, I
Oh,
find.
yeah, you just run away from the thing.
Yeah, you
Yeah, I
just
get you.
run away from the thing, or you deal with it later. And three resources is so much for an effect like this. It's like if you think about something like Spectral Razor that costs two and gives you the engage,
Yeah.
and then basically just deals with the enemy permanently while also
And makes
giving
you,
you a
all
giant
right,
boost.
well, yeah, it makes you a coffee and like, you know, shines your shoes for you. Yeah, well, you know, that's Spectral Razor though.
There are
It's
certainly
different.
uses for Waylay, but yeah,
Yeah.
taking that skill test is sometimes pretty rough too.
You don't get any bonuses, that's true. And you had to have evaded the thing already.
Yes.
That's right. Okay.
So it's like it has to
Yeah.
be an enemy that you evaded, and it has to be an enemy that you want to actively get off the board.
That's true.
And
That's true.
so it's hard to find uses for, and the times I've had it in my deck, I end up just using it as a manual dexterity.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because often enough, like, just evading this thing is good enough. It is expensive. You basically have to make two agility checks in the same turn. Kind of asks a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas Hiding Spot, you only have to make one, and then you Hiding Spot it, bypass it for a whole round, and then you run away. Yeah, and you just never
And
deal
with
with it again.
yeah, and with hiding
Yeah.
spot, you may not even have to make that check in the first place because you could just
Yep.
stick it on a location before the enemy gets there.
Yeah, it's true. Or before it spawns. Yeah, if you
Yeah, this sort of reminds me of a card without a home because in solo, you can't really build a deck that has no way of killing enemies. Like, if you build that deck, you're probably going to die because every scenario almost requires that you have to kill at least one enemy. And so you don't really need waylay because you've probably got a fire axe or baseball bat or some other way of dealing with an enemy. And then in multiplayer, there are just other investigators around usually who can do this
Yeah.
so much more efficiently that. And especially at the time this card was released, like three resources in Survivor is just, that's a huge ask. And especially when you're building Dark Horse decks and stuff like that, or decks that are spending down their resources for Fire Axe and then using Madame LaBranche to get a resource back, like this card just doesn't fit with what Survivors were doing at the time. And I almost forget this card exists, honestly, because I just don't need it. I think it was created with the intention of dealing with something like the Wizard of the Order, where it's just like fighting it can be a bit of a pain in the ass, but it's not a type of enemy you could just leave on the table. Like evading it just doesn't do enough because it's just going to sit there and generate doom turn after turn. So having a way that you can get it off the table without actually having to fight it as a survivor could be useful, but there just aren't a lot of enemies like that in the game
Okay.
that
Do you know who
warrant.
really doesn't like this card is William Yorick.
I mean, it's a Wendy card. Wendy is
Yeah, exactly.
on the
Clearly,
map.
it's a Wendy card. But like Wendy has backstab, so she can one-shot things with her
Yeah,
agility,
not
you know?
everything. Lest we
Yeah, I know, that's the
forget,
thing.
our old pal, the conglomeration of spheres, man. If you
Oh yeah,
evade
because
that thing and you.
yeah, that's
That's it.
true. Because this is the part where we get to talk about, you know, the ultimate Arkham horror, you know, where enemies are
Enemies have
tough.
six health, and then all of a
Yeah,
sudden, waylay
exactly.
is super awesome.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of fell by the wayside. Although 4 health is in vogue again, apparently. Four health
Or
is
if
a
you can
thing.
evade, what is that obnoxious bull enemy from Innsmouth Conspiracy?
Oh, that guy. Yeah. Right,
If you could waylay
that
that
guy.
guy,
Deep way.
that's pretty
That's
useful. But like,
true.
yeah, you really need
Yeah.
like the one enemy that's annoying enough to actually have to waylay. Wizard of
Yeah.
the Order, I think, is another good example.
That's true. I'd also take this over things like sneak attack that other early life of the game options that Wendy had. Like sneak attack is just you pay two to deal two en damage to an exhausted enemy at your location. So you already had to evade it, and then you spend two, no test, but you deal two damage. But it's like that's not nearly a guarantee that you're gonna be able to deal with the thing. So I'd play
Yeah,
this over like sneak attack. Yeah.
and sneak attack has worse icons too. So at
Yeah, that's
least you
true.
get better icons with this card,
Yeah, that's true.
which is
So.
its saving grace, is the fact that it has decent icons. At the very least, helps you.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. I think it actually is an improvement over other options that like Wendy has at this point. And you know, it means you could put other things that really don't do the job in the binder. I do like that, you know, you have events, so you're someone like Wendy, you don't have to load up on assets to deal with enemies. You could like just help out with events. That's nice because it's faster than having to like play the fire axe, for example. You know. Yeah.
Is I think the other enemy I'm thinking of is Cats of Saturn.
Oh
The
yeah, they're
obnoxious.
like 5 health, you know, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, because they gain health for each like copy of Swarm. Like this can be pretty
Oh
useful
yeah.
there too. But like, yeah, case in point, you need a specific enemy that you want to target with this thing. And
Yeah.
so I think for me it gets an Elder thing.
Okay.
because it's a little too niche, but like, man, if you killed Conglomeration of Spheres, this feels pretty good.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go zero because this is your backstop that like kind of helps you. It helps enable a deck that like doesn't have any other way of dealing of defeating enemies than events. You know, like if you play this like as say Wendy, for example, like you don't have to bring any weapons at all. You know, if you play this and like maybe backstab. Yeah. So I like the fact that it kicks other things out. It kicks other things that you didn't want to have in your deck anyway out of their slots. You know, and then, you know, earns its slot that way. And it has good icons. So like it's like your icons get better as a result because you get to kick the fire axe out of your deck. You know, as like Wendy. Yeah. So I'll give this a zero because it fills that role.
I'm going to agree with Nate and give this thing an elder thing. It just costs too much, I think, and requires a very specific enemy that you want to deal with. And I found that when I build decks, I usually have other ways to deal with that enemy that don't require Waylay. And then in multiplayer, I know I played a Wendy deck in multiplayer through Dream Eaters, and yeah, I just never needed this. We had Rita and other investigators just evading everything or killing everything that way, and so this just
Oh, well,
never
you had
happened.
Rita, then you don't have to. Yeah, Rita could take care of all that stuff. I mean, what were you doing? What were you doing including this?
I
What were
know
you
I
doing
didn't
doing with
include
Rita?
this. I didn't have this in my
Yeah,
deck then,
exactly. Then
so
don't. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you had Rita.
Yeah, it might be worth a look, depending on the campaign you're playing and what enemies you expect to face. But I mean, this does deal with the mindless dancers too, which is good. But yeah,
But so does Hiding Spot.
but so does Hiding Spot. Yeah, so and it's cheaper, so.
Hiding Spot, 2023's underrated card of the year.
The next card we're going to talk about is Not Without a Fight. It is a skill with a willpower, combat, and agility skill icon innate trait. Commit to a skill test only if you are engaged with an enemy. For each enemy engaged with you, Not Without a Fight gains a willpower, combat, and agility skill icon. Thoughts on Not Without a Fight?
A weird card.
Yeah. I kind of
It
like it though.
seems, yeah, kind of do and a kind of don't. Because
Oh, we did
it's,
just talk about fight or flight.
yeah, well, it does fill a similar role to that,
It does, doesn't
certainly.
it? Yeah.
And fight or flight gives it to you for the entire round. And it's a much easier condition to fill. Because it's much better against bosses, for instance, which are much more common in this game. Whereas Not Without a Fight is much better against swarms of enemies, which are less common in this game.
Although, even if you have one thing engaged with you, it's still two willpower, two combat, two agility.
Sure, but you could just play Unexpected Courage too, which is
It's
two
true.
icons
Well,
all
I
the
was saying,
time.
well, you do it on top of them. You do both, man. Unexpected courage is a given, right? Or do you just not know me?
Yeah, this card's weird. I don't know. I want to like it, but in practice, it just feels weird.
Yeah, the thing I
Too.
don't like about it is like half the time you want willpower, but half the time you draw treachery and you don't have any enemies engaged with you. So it's like, great, this is like this one willpower. Man,
Yep.
I feel real bad, you know?
No, and you can only commit it when you're engaged with an enemy too. So it's like you have to
Oh,
be
I
engaged
mean,
with something.
yeah, exactly. So like that's the willpower bit out the window. Yeah, it's got a restriction on it. Yeah, because I feel like that would be the one thing it has over fight or flight is that you can use it in the mythos phase, and you can use it for willpower. But like, it doesn't. It's not. You want guts at that point, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, and that's just it. It's like you generally want a neutral skill over something like this because it replaces
Yeah.
itself. Whereas this is like to really get the value you want out of it, you probably want to be engaged with two things. But then if you're
Oh
engaged with
yeah.
two things, you probably want fight or flight. So it's like, this is weird.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, fight or flight does the job a bit better. Okay. I think we're talking our way around, you know, we're circling around the truth. And man from Lang, he's gonna tell us what the truth actually is.
I have played this card quite a bit, and I do like it. I do run into the whole being engaged with an enemy issue occasionally, which can be very annoying because otherwise this card just does nothing. And but I do like it because when I'm playing solo, sometimes you need to fight something, sometimes you need to evade it. And then occasionally you do end up where you just happen to be engaged with something, and then you draw willpower treachery during the mythos phase, and this covers you for that as well. Like it's not one of those skills that it's like, okay, I have not without a fight, so now I can cut guts and unexpected courage and manual dexterity and all that stuff out of my deck. Like this is sort of supplements those. But it is nice to have the option of going, of sort of trimming deck slots when you go sort of manual dexterity or, what's the combat one? My mind is blank.
Overpower. Yeah.
And so I usually play this rather than both of those. And then the willpower is just sort of like is the cherry on top. It's just like sometimes it comes into play, sometimes it doesn't.
Okay.
But I've found it useful enough that I don't know if I've actually played it much recently, though. I think back in the day when survivor skills weren't as good, I played this more, but then I feel like the skill card pool has just gotten so much better now that this,
yeah,
you just don't need to play this card. There are better cards, but
yeah, the use case you were talking about, this where it kind of straddles manual dexterity and overpower, this reminds me about how I kind of like the card Beloved from Innsmouth, because it's basically two willpower and two agility. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I kind of feel the same way. Like sometimes I'll take away manual dexterities for two Beloveds because that means I have four guts in the deck. Yeah, so I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, I would just be wary that like, with some of these multiple icon skill cards, they're intended to let you slim down your skill package a little bit so you can fit in other stuff. But I think with this card, you cannot be too aggressive with your cuts, because otherwise this card just doesn't cover you in all situations. Like if it took away that whole engage with an enemy nonsense, then
yeah,
great. You know, if it just had two of each, well, that's ideal. But having to be engaged with something is, it does happen in solo. And then having the option of a couple of different icons is nice.
Yeah, notice one thing, now that you're talking about it, what kind of sucks about this card is, let's say you're going up against a big boss and it has retaliate, right? What's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to evade it. Now you're no longer engaged with it, and not without a fight. Doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, you use the not without a fight to evade it, obviously.
Yeah, but then it's like, but I have this manual dexterity in my hand. I want the card. I use that. Or you use fight or flight instead.
Well, I can certainly see why you'd look at it that way, but I would say that if you're playing this card, you have trimmed out manual dexterity for some other effect.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. So you're sacrificing the card draw to, say, have a hiding spot in your deck, or to have some other utility card in your deck that you wouldn't be able to play if you're playing, say, two guts, two overpowers, two manual dexterities.
Mm-hmm.
You're sort of taking that risk so you can have something else. How would you guys rate this one?
This one's tough for me. I straddled the line between a zero and an elder thing with this one. It's not bad. It's definitely not auto-fail territory by any means. But it is, it's tough, because it's like, it feels like card 31, 32 to me, where it's like, yeah, this would be nice, but the way I build my decks, I just, cards like this fall to the wayside.
So, what's it going to be, Nate?
I think I'm going to go with an elder thing. I think fight or flight fills the role that I want this card to fill most of the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'd rather have a card draw. Like, I would sacrifice the spread for the card draw in most cases, I think, especially in Survivor.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to say the same Elder thing. I feel like you guys convinced me on Fight or Flight, which, like, my personal style, like, I wasn't really, you know, keen on anyway. So it'd be a really tall ask for me to really, it'd be a really tall order for me to put in, like, both Fight or Flight and this. So I'm like, well, this drops out if I'm playing a deck that uses Fight or Flight. So I'll give it another thing. I gotta say though, that artwork, look what's going on there. Okay, so Rita here is, she's wearing like shorts, right? But what's this thing here? It's like there's a strap, like she's wearing like suspenders or something, but the suspender goes like across her chest rather than like up and down. What's going on with that,
guys? No, that's just her shirt. There's like a blue stripe that is
There's a blue stripe on her shirt.
Yeah,
the
blue stripe is running on her shirt.
Okay, do you see what I see? Do you see how it looks like it like attaches to her shorts there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just
this... I thought she had like a purse or something, you know, on the back. Oh, maybe she has one of those like modern like backpacks that goes across rather than like goes over, you know, because she's an athlete. Maybe she's got one of those camelbacks, you know, back there where she can like sip water.
Where she can hide her giant wrench. When she's not
where she where she can hide her giant wrench. Yeah.
I'm gonna go zero on this one. I've played it quite a bit and have found it useful enough that I would not hesitate to put it in a deck, but that may have changed. I can't recall how many, you know, Survivor decks I've really built of late, and I think with the skills these days where they just throw like 1,000 icons on them and you just brute force everything, that something like this is less required. But I think if you're sort of running up against deck space issues and you're trying to find a way to sort of slim your deck without sacrificing too much, I think this is one way to do that. But yeah, I mean, it really depends on sort of what you want to do with it. And I think in solo, I think there's more use cases than say in a multiplayer setting, but that's just me. The final card we are going to talk about in this batch really needs no introduction. This is Resourceful. It has a intellect, combat, and agility skill icon innate trait. If this skill test is successful, choose a Survivor card not named Resourceful in your discard pile and add that to the chosen card to your hand. So if you are building a Survivor deck, you put two copies of Resourceful in it immediately and go from there. I guess the question is, knowing how ubiquitous this is in Survivor decks, has this reached curse territory?
Ooh, that is a good question. Oh gosh. All right. I'll start by saying that if this is your only recursion, then it's fine.
Yeah, I think it's more that it helps achieve a critical mass, I think, is the problem. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like Matt said, like if this and maybe like something else are like your only forms of recursion, it's fine.
Yeah.
But once you start doing some silly nonsense, you know, you have another way to recur the Resourceful, and then you use the Resourceful to recur other stuff. It gets pretty silly pretty quick.
Yeah.
Ooh, especially because you don't have to be the one doing the skill test. You can commit it to someone else's skill test and then get a card during someone else's turn.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it during Mythos phase if the skill test aligns correctly. Like, yeah, there's just a lot of annoying things that this facilitates when it achieves critical mass. But God, I love this card.
Yeah, I feel like on its own, it's like fine, right? It's one of those where like it is. Like it alone is not like cursed territory, I feel like.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's one of those things where once you push it hard enough, it gets cursey. Yeah. It's kinda like, remember we were talking about scrying level 3 last you know, recently about how it alone is not going to push you into like I'm breaking the game territory, but if you like combine it with other things, then it's gone. Then the whole juggernaut does. Yeah, I feel like we're in a similar case here.
Keep in mind that when this card was released, it was basically just Yorick and Scavenging. Like, that's all you had.
That was it. Yeah. Yeah, Yorick, Scavenging, and this. That's all you had. Right, and Survivor had, like, no card draw to speak of, except for, like, Madame LeBranche.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they couldn't exactly go through their deck really quickly.
Yeah. Whereas, like, now you've got, like, Short Supply, and you've got Forced Learning, and you've got all this other silly stuff to facilitate a card like this. But
it's true.
I think on its own, like, it's fine.
Okay. Still very strong, though. Like, very useful.
Oh, yeah. It's easy Elder Sign material. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
But...
yeah, it's really interesting how, like, it gives you a card, but, like, you get to, like, pick what it is.
Yeah,
and
it's the best card in your discard pile, which is amazing.
Yeah, exactly. You pick the best card in your discard pile, and it's, like, you don't... and as a result, you don't have, like, the double icon that, like, say, Perception gives you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, as a result. And then the fact that this can fail... you know, there's definitely, like, that to be said about it. Like, it's not an auto fast action. It's not an automatic fast action get a card back.
Yeah, there is that roughly 10% chance that you'll fail when you play this card, and that does happen.
Yeah.
And
it also...
feel bad when you do that.
Yeah, and it also sucks when, like, you're trying to take a test, you're not sure whether you're going to pass it, and then you're like, do I commit the resourceful? Like, you feel like that'll put you into pass territory, but if all it does is put you two over, you're gonna feel really bad and you drop minus three. But then again, you have Lucky and you're a survivor, you'll be fine, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, so it's not like easy mode, you know, to get there.
I tend to agree with you. I just find that it's just so ubiquitous.
Yeah.
Like, if you're playing a survivor and you're not playing two copies of this, like, you've failed at that point. I just don't know how else to say it, you know? It's just like you're failing at deck building, because this is like, this is Lucky 3 and 4, this is Peter Sylvester 3 and 4, this is Old Key Ring 3 or 4, like whatever you need at the time. This will usually get it, and it's usually, yes, you can fail the skill test, but you are usually committing this to a skill test where failure is a remote possibility. Like, you're basically either drawing, I think most of the time it's a minus four or an auto fail where you're failing this thing, because you're going to pump it enough to make sure you get the card out of it.
So one thing that's also worth noting about this card is that when this came out, there really weren't a lot of, like, absolutely amazing targets for it. Because, like, so off the top of my head, it's like, oh, great, I get to bring events back. So you get more luckies. Like, but that's about as good as it got, you know, when this thing came out. Because there were fewer ways to dump things in your discard pile, unless you were Wendy. And there were fewer, like, really good events that you wanted to get over and over when this card came out.
I don't know.
Okay, no, I'll hear it, yeah. I mean,
well, for one, there's Ashcan P, who can just discard.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Have cornered.
Okay.
And then you can play True Survivor, and then True Survivor plus Resourceful creates a loop where you infinitely recover.
Okay, you got me there on the seeding the discard pile. The thing about True Survivor, though, is True Survivor is expensive.
It is.
Yeah, it's expensive. Like, you gotta afford that. Yeah. So I guess, like, looking back here, you've got, like, Look What I Found, you've got Lucky. Yeah, I guess you could recur Will to Survives, although if you need multiple Will to Survives in a game, you're probably struggling. Okay. I guess what I'm saying is, like, the pool of things that you could bring back was smaller, you know, and the amount of recursion that you could stack on top, that you could stack with it with each other was also smaller. Yeah, back in the day, yeah.
I don't know. I think the more I think about this, grosser it feels to me. I don't know. Especially you have Scavenging in your deck, because then it's like do Scavenging plus Resourceful, and then you're like, ooh, I get two cards now. Ooh.
Yeah, it's definitely... I would definitely say that FFG opened up the recursion box, like, way too early, and they were kind of reckless about it. That's for sure. Yeah. Because recursion breaks all card games.
Yeah, I feel like they were trying to give it the restriction with, oh, you can only get survivor cards. It's like, that's not a restriction.
No, especially as the card pool expands, it becomes less and less restrictive. Yeah.
So
Oh,
how would
but
we
is it
rate this one?
curse-worthy? Is it curse-worthy? Oh,
Yeah, that's
tough.
the real question.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna just go Elder Sign. I like it. I just wish it wasn't quite as ubiquitous, but it is nice to be able to. I mean, I've played this so often to get back that lucky I need for the next test to just sort of get me over the hump, or to get back a look what I found to discover the clues I need to finish off a scenario. Like it often feels like survivors are sort of missing that little bit where they just need a little extra, and Resourceful is that little extra that gets them the tool back that they need to keep going. But I can definitely see how you start combining this with other things and you end up with ridiculousness and negative play experiences.
Yeah, this one's tough. I don't know.
Yeah. But it's between Elder Sign and Curse, right?
Yeah,
Yeah,
obviously.
yeah, yeah. Oh, it's a tough one.
Like I think it's sort of the harbinger of doom in that regard, where Resourceful is sort of the opening of Pandora's box with the recursion stuff. If you have Resourceful plus True Survivor initially, and then Yorick obviously has its own asset thing that he can do. But then you start like putting all these pieces together, and then once survivors get better ways to investigate, to make the scavenging more reliable and better assets to recur, it becomes a problem, yeah. And Resourceful is a big part of that engine.
Yeah, I've actually been clicking around looking at what some of the later survivor cards that you want to use Resourceful on start looking like. And Shed a Light, like that's one of those monster events that like see it's one thing to like recur lucky, right? Lucky's good, right? But it's not like action compression all in itself. We're like Shed a Light, that's three clues. That's something you want to play as many times as possible for a game. And like that's your entire deck can just be Shed a Lights over and over. Yeah, it's I feel like you couldn't there wasn't a lot of like that. Early on in the, early on in the card pool for survivors, monster events like that that you just really wanted to bring back, bring back over and over.
And then
All right,
let us
Nate.
not forget about Silas either, the
Yeah, we
original
haven't got.
mastermind of.
Yeah, we haven't gotten that far yet. Yeah, well, we're just ignoring Silas at this point. Oh
Yeah.
yeah. Oh.
Jeez, I don't know.
Yeah, this is a
I
very
think I
tempting
gotta give it a.
Silas target.
Oh yeah, I think I gotta give it
All
a
right.
curse token. I think just the fact that it facilitates so much for so little cost. Like it basically costs nothing to put into your deck. And the fact that you get so much out of it, I think, is the big problem with this card. Whereas like with scavenging, you kind of have to build your deck around scavenging to get use out of
That's
it.
true.
But
Yeah.
Resourceful, you don't gotta do nothing, man. You just play it.
Yeah, that's true. It's also one of the very few survivor cards that's like significantly stronger than its Seeker equivalent in Eureka. Even like,
I think the issue with Resourceful is like Man from Lang said, like every survivor plays this card. Like
Yeah, it's true.
you
Like,
essentially
why
start
wouldn't
your
you?
survivor deck with 28 cards.
Well, 26 if you include the teddy bear.
24 if you include Lucky.
Yeah, there you go.
You know,
20,
so it's
yeah.
like, you know, most survivor decks end up including some similar 6 to 8 card package, and it makes the whole faction feel homogenous, I think, to some regard.
True. You're playing Survivor. You are going to play some recursion. Okay. All right, Nate, you got me. Curse o'clock. It's happening. Yep. Take that.
Yeah, I think this one is one of those cards where it's as Matastrophic as often says, if you play it responsibly, then it's okay. But as soon as you start trying to break stuff, this is the card that facilitates that, and you can get pretty carried away after that. But yeah, I mean, the more we talk about it, the more this feels like a curse. But I guess I haven't played a Survivor deck without it in so long. I'm not sure how that would feel. Maybe I should try that. Just take out the resourceful and see how it goes. Whether there's enough now that you don't need to lean on this like a crutch.
There definitely is. It's just like you feel the impact of not having this card in your deck is the issue, I think. Is that like your deck is noticeably worse without resourceful in it.
Okay.
And maybe that's because when you're drawing as a survivor, you're often looking for this card. It's like, I need to draw when is my next copy of Resourceful coming? Because there's something in my discard pile I really want back.
Oh, yeah.
And it's either I've got to draw it through my deck, or I have to, you know, when is my next copy of Resourceful come so I can get that card back? And it's usually never a thought of like, I'll get the copy of Resourceful and I might get that card back. It's like, I'm going to draw Resourceful and I'm getting that card back.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of failure is just not, is so not relevant at that point.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely riding the line between being good and too good. But, yeah, this is... this is one of the standouts of the Survivor card pool, and if you're not playing it, well, then you should be. So go back and
responsibly playing it responsibly. Yeah.
That's going to do it for part two of our look at the Survivor cards in the Path to Carcosa Investigator expansion. Do you think Resourceful is worthy of a curse these days, or does it stay in Elder Sign territory? Let us know in the comments down below. Any final thoughts on this batch?
Another very solid batch of Survivor cards.
Yeah, we had some interesting conversations this time around, actually, like about Fight or Flight and Not Without a Fight. I thought those were particularly enlightening, actually. I still say Hiding Spot is the underrated card. You know, like, it's the real sleeper.
That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter @manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your Elder Sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.